With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome to the show. How are you today? I hope your week is going well. Now, we're going to start off a little bit with what's going on with the Trump saga. After the news break with Dee Dee Denslow, we're going to get into some Ukraine stuff. And quite frankly, this is just, gets into horrific with what's in a news cycle. So let's start it off. Now, the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg, has filed a lawsuit yesterday against House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, and he's seeking to quash a transparent campaign to intimidate and attack him and derail his prosecution of former President Donald Trump. Now, what's the problem with Alvin Bragg's prosecution of Trump? It's a deliberate, transparent campaign to intimidate and attack Donald Trump and throw the 2024 election cycle. So this is getting interesting. He's accusing Jim Jordan of doing what he's doing. Now, with Congress doing this, the House Judiciary Chairman doing this, it is unprecedented. But, you know, we're living in an unprecedented time. The attacks on Donald Trump, I thought Franklin Delano Roosevelt took the cake on persecution of a U.S. president. And quite frankly, Donald Trump took the banner with everything that they're putting him through in and out of office. Does Congress have the power to really do anything here? Not really, but it will make really bad optics for the district attorney's office in Manhattan. And it'll open this up. And maybe, you know, taking this, making it a lot more transparent, because, you know, we're prosecuting Donald Trump and we're not even saying what laws he's broken. And we're not going to do that until December. Maybe when, you know, whenever they need to, they will. Whenever they actually have to, they will. But we're not going to stay in step with what the American justice system is supposed to be. And I mean, you're actually supposed to at least know what you're being charged with. You know, it's a big step. I know it's a big step for, you know, district attorneys to actually charge somebody with breaking a law. We don't even have a law broken. And that's the problem with the case right now. So Alvin Bragg is trying to, well, tap dance his way around that fact. You know, we'll see how it goes. From where I'm sitting watching this, and with the severity that they've been going after Donald Trump, they're going to keep going no matter what. And they're going to press every avenue they can no matter what. Now, Trump is actually ready for this, and he's saying he'll fight this even if he's convicted of something. And of course, nobody really understands what he could be convicted of. He didn't commit a crime, and if in fact it was handled a certain way and it was a crime, the statute of limitations was up years ago. And talking about it like that, you know, it's actually unfair. If we have a justice system that's supposed to, you know, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty and not guilty till you prove yourself innocent, This is going in the opposite direction. And quite frankly, all of this has. Look at Russiagate. They never had to prove that Donald Trump was involved in anything, or Vladimir Putin, or Yevgeny Prigozhin, for that matter, or anybody else, any of the journalists, any of the pundits, any of the political players. No one actually had to prove anything, and they couldn't. And they put all these people in this same position. You have to prove you're innocent. And quite frankly, this god-awful mess that they're doing is the end of American democracy. That's what it's, all the signals are there. If pushback isn't hard. And quite frankly, it needs to be done. Now, we're going to break for a second and come back with TNT talk show host and producer extraordinaire, Didi Denslow. We'll be right back.
The facts, no spin or agenda.
Not enough with the lies, we need the facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Didi Denslow, welcome to the show. How are you doing today, and what is going on in the world?
I'm very well, George. I hope you are well too. I wanted to bring up the Pentagon leak story with you quickly. Just going to touch on Donald Trump. They like Russiagate, which you brought up. They just stick this story out there. He's committed these 34 non-existent crimes that they haven't named, that are all sort of linked to each other, and they'll just leave it hanging out over his head throughout the election campaign. So my question is, why doesn't Donald Trump just ignore it? Could he just ignore it?
Well, no. Well, he could, but in the media, they'd have a field day with it. He has to deal with it. And every time they put up a point, and they'll keep doing it as often as they can, he has to answer it. Does that play into their strategy? A little bit. But if it's not done, it plays worse.
Yeah, interesting. Well, it looks like he's gonna have another 4, 5, 6 years of it if he is elected, because they'll just keep doing the same thing, putting these stories out, getting that throwing mud, and just leaving it to hang there over his head. Anyway, my story, George. The Pentagon leak has exposed, tell us something that we didn't know, that there are NATO special forces in Ukraine. One document lists almost 100 personnel, and half of them come from my country, the United Kingdom, Great Britain. One of the classified USA military documents leaked online shows the presence of 97 NATO special forces operators in Ukraine as of the beginning of March this year, with over half of them being British. The US had 14 special operatives, according to these documents, and France had another 15. Dozens of classified US military documents have been discovered online over the past week. However, it appears that they have been on Discord, which is a sort of a media platform used by gamers. I don't really know Discord like that. But apparently these documents, these pictures of these documents, has been around for quite some time. Russia and Ukraine have largely shrugged off the documents as irrelevant, although there is an article out today with the Russian chiefs saying that this could well be some sort of disinformation campaign or an attempt at deception. And I would like to know your opinions on that in 5 seconds, George. Let me bring up my notes again. Russia has gone as far as to say that these informations are misdirection and misinformation. And in April 2022, the French daily Le Figaro claimed that SAS and Delta Force operators have been present since the beginning of Russia's military operation, waging a secret war on behalf of Ukraine. And some of the other things that these documents said, while I'm here, George, that the US had been monitoring Zelensky's calls with defense and military officials by using signals intelligence, that the US had penetrated Russian military forces and the Wagner Group, That documents also reference details about the interning planning of the Russians' military intelligence agency, the GRU, that US spies had caught Russian intelligence officers boasting that they had convinced the UAE to work together against the US and UK intelligence agencies. And they may have been successful on that because it seems like the Middle East is moving towards Russia's direction. That Egypt had planned to supply Russia with rockets and munitions. Also, that the British supplied a load of Challenger 2 tanks. I think they may have sent some over already, but they haven't got the munitions or the artillery for these tanks. So quite a lot's come out in these documents that have been online. All the mainstream media have been all over it like a rash. So you have to give some credence to the Russian claim and apparently Ukraine's, who have sort of shrugging their shoulders at this, that this may be some sort of deception or misinformation. What's your comments on that, George, and these leaks in general?
Well, I think Saturday on War of the Worlds, John Helmer really hit it on the head. You've got this is supposed to be from the same set of meetings, and they should all have the same classifications. But the classifications on each document differs widely. Some of it is top secret, secret. Some of it's for, you know, eyes only if you have that security clearance. Some's for general publication for people that have a specific, you know, a minimum clearance. Others are for, you know, it's just barely there, you know, the classification at all. So you've got the whole spectrum of classifications on this section of intelligence that's all supposed to be put together. It should all be the same. So some of it is probably real and other parts of it fabricated to, you know, to rely on the real part to give it credibility.
Mm-hmm.
As far as SAS or Delta there, the troops, yeah, they've been there. They've been here since 2015. They've been here. So have Special Forces operators. Delta's been here. SAS has been here, not just from the UK, but Australia. They've been here training them up, and they're there working the front lines to a degree. Yes, they are. So that's, you know, it may be a secret, but it's kind of an open secret because everybody knows about it.
Mm-hmm. Other things that were in the documents were, you know, the Ukraine would not be able to mount a successful counteroffensive. Patrick Henderson on TNT has commented that these documents might be used by the US and NATO as an off-ramp to slowly sort of back away and get out of this conflict because it's going so badly. Do you think that's true?
I don't think that they want it for an off-ramp, but, you know, that's part of it. Ukraine's reaction has been really interesting. It's like a deer caught in the headlights. So, you know, this coming out, this type of, we'll call it a narrative, coming out in major media saying they cannot win is something that they did not want published.
Mm. Mm.
So that part is probably the other true part, barring, you know, what special operators are there.
Hmm. And another story, and I saw this on Twitter, it's from a Twitter account called Spriter. I don't know if you've come across it. He's got like a beard with a hat and stuff. And it seems to be everywhere, which always concerns me when I see a Twitter account suddenly appear out of nowhere and it's everywhere. But it says this: Zelensky is ready to transfer several Western regions of the country to Poland in exchange for full-scale military assistance to the Ukraine army in the seizure of Crimea. This was stated by the former intelligence officer of the British Intelligence Services, MI6, a guy called Alistair Crook. Now, I'm not saying this is a reliable source. It's got quite a large following and is putting out a lot of military information, particularly with regards to what's going on in Ukraine and Russia. But there's an article today, Poland wants strongest US-backed army. PM Mateusz Morawiecki claims that the U.S. is committed to a permanent presence in Poland. The U.S. will increase its permanent military presence in Poland. This was announced on Tuesday. And the U.S. is fully committed to strengthening its presence in Poland. Poland is currently serving as a logistics hub for NATO to funnel weapons, ammunition, and equipment into Ukraine. So it looks like the U.S. is going to sort of make Poland another one of its military bases. And at the same time, we've got this comment allegedly coming from an MI6 officer to say that there is a deal potentially in the offing between Ukraine and Poland for some of the Western territory, which you have mentioned, the Lviv area. Do you think there's any truth in that statement that I've come across on Twitter?
I think that it's been in discussion. They're going to open the border, and essentially, what does that do? It makes it, you know, a single country, not unified, but, you know, if they take the border away, you take the border away, it's all, it should be one entity, right? And that's what Zelensky wants to do. Now, Lviv wants to go to Poland. They tried to break away, started talking about it after they committed the coup in 2014. For the help that they need, there's also something else on the table. It's called the Intermarium. And Poland, Ukraine, you have the Baltic states and a few others, the Balkans. They want to form their own basic bloc to be the biggest bloc in Europe and have the strongest military and use this to fight Russia. This has been on the table for 100 years. Now, this is a revival of that. So they may have been making progress on those talks. It makes, you know, with the U.S. presence there, like you said, it makes Poland almost untouchable. If they take away the border, you know, and they start spreading Polish political influence eastward, or Polish political leadership eastward. And remember, Zelensky said that there's not going to be a difference between a Polish passport and a Ukrainian passport. He said this 6-8 months ago. So Polish leaders will be in Ukraine governing Ukraine. This is 6 or 8 months old, this news. It gives a lot of credence to what you're saying. It gives a ton of credence.
And it could potentially help keep this conflict going and going and going, which would almost certainly be in the U.S. interest. So, and that block, we have discussed the these ex sort of Baltic states coming together, or Eastern. What was the name that you called it?
The Baltics and Balkans.
Yeah. So you called it, was it Intermaria or? Sorry, I didn't quite catch
it. Oh, the Intermarium.
Intermarium. I shall be Googling that, George, to find out a little bit more, because that would make that block the most powerful in Europe, wouldn't it? Almost certainly. It would give it a massive amount of influence. And what, you know, this news about Poland potentially having a deal with Ukraine for some land and the US sticking military in Poland almost certainly elevates the Polish to near the top of the table in the EU, I would suspect. And they probably think that that is great.
Yeah, exactly. And they want to lead. They're not in a position where they should, but they want to. It's like Ukraine. Ukraine wants to be the head of the Security Council at the UN. And, you know, quite frankly, they're, exactly.
I got no comment on that, George. It makes me chuckle. And the worst part about it is it will probably happen, won't it? It will probably happen, because we live in this world of inversion, a clown world, as the meme says. And if Ukraine suddenly had a seat at the Security Council and Poland was leading the way in the Europe, I would just be holding my head in my hands thinking, what the hell is happening?
What will end up happening is probably 50 years of war. That's what will end up happening.
Of course.
It really would not be the choice and situation for anybody.
Apart from the U.S.
Apart from Joe Biden. He would love
it. Apart from Joe. Whilst he's still in power, which probably won't be for too much longer, the way that they're carrying on trying to persecute Donald Trump. So just fingers crossed it can all change. It can all change, George. Mm-hmm. Keep our fingers crossed.
Oh, exactly. And they're talking about pushing. Tucker Carlson's saying that they are going to gradually switch over to Gavin Newsom when they get into the election season.
The so Democrats we'll are going to. Yeah, well, he's not a particularly popular person, is he? But, you know, the polarization in the U.S. just means that, let me get this right, the red, right color, the blues of Democrats, is this right? Yeah, the blues will almost, they will support Gavin Newsom. And he looks the part, doesn't he? Because he's a fairly attractive, smarmy, well-dressed individual. And there was a day, George, you can hold your head in your hands in a minute, when I watched him probably in about 2016, and he was touted by one of the, you know, the comedian talk show hosts, like Bill Mayer or whatever, said, oh, you're a potential president. And I thought, oh, this guy looks like he's one of the adults in the room. Little did I know back then how deluded I was, George.
Now, we've got a comment from the chat room asking that, you know, they thought this war was about sovereignty. And no, it actually has never been about sovereignty. If Ukraine was actually concerned about sovereignty, all they had to do was complete the steps in the Minsk agreement they signed. There wouldn't have been a war. It would have ended in 2014, 2015. They would have taken a few steps. They would have gained control of the border, and Donbass would have folded right back into the country again. And it was just that simple. What this is about is eradicating anybody in Ukraine or forcing them to sign on with Ukrainian nationalist politics or Bandera politics. This is 1930s and 1940s nationalism. And that's all this is about. It's about destroying Russia. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. The people that are actually applying all this really don't care about sovereignty, because they're going to be leaving when their job is done. Just like the Poroshenko government did. Every time they left government, they moved to Canada, the U.S., wherever. All right, Didi, thank you so much for coming on today. I look forward to your report tomorrow.
My pleasure, George. Speak to you tomorrow, mate.
All right, you have a great afternoon. Now, for a complete list of shows and our schedule offered on TNT Radio, simply visit our website at tntradio.live. We serve up the latest live news and current affairs presented by a host of credible and expert commentators who can separate fact from fiction, truth from propaganda, right here on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Bruce de Torres is talking about on World Stage.
The fact that this is happening to him, does that signify that we've already passed that tipping point of the kind of tyranny and oppression and, you know, lack of freedom? I'm gonna answer that question.
Yes.
Give you my opinion. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And yes. Yet, yeah, those who know and who care, still we have to do and say as much as we possibly can.
Right. There's two choices. We can lay down and die, or we can fight back. And I'm not really a lay down and die kind of person. So as long as I can fight back, I'm going to fight back in whatever way possible. And I'm only one person, and you're only one person, and everybody listening is only one person. But when you get lots of those one people together, and they're all making noise at the same time, that is where the power lies. And I think that in the United States in particular, we have forgotten the power that we hold. And we need to remember that, and we need to stand together. A lot of time and effort is spent trying to divide us. They want us very much in our teams. They want us to think that our neighbors are our enemies and all of that stuff. And we need to recognize that our neighbors are not our enemies. Our neighbors wear $5,000 suits and sit in boardrooms.
World Stage and Bruce DeTorres on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's news talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
At the top of the hour, we'll keep on top of the news.
It's the most important thing we can do.
On today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And welcome back. Now, what we're going to get into, it's fairly serious stuff. But first, let's take this news item, because this is, it's serious, but it's actually funny. And quite frankly, I have been... since the war began, not began, but the Russia entered the fray back in February 2022, and we started seeing commercial satellites giving away Russian positions, giving away troop locations, doing all this work for Ukraine. I started saying that these companies were putting themselves up at risk because they entered the war as military assets. That's a real thing. So Google, Google Earth, all these geolocation companies that have satellites up there could actually lose them. And it's legitimate. They couldn't sue for it. They entered the war. Now, General B. Chance Saltzman, the chief of space operations for the United States Space Force, is saying Russia has been using space weapons against Ukraine. Ooh. The U.S. is accusing Moscow of jamming GPS signals from American GPS satellites used by Ukraine's armed forces. And they're saying that Russia has stopped short of attempting to destroy the hardware in part because its space capabilities are not fully developed. But at the same time, they're saying that Russia has Earth-based lasers capable of attacking the satellites, electronic jamming equipment, and anti-satellite missiles. And this is according to the same guy in the same statement. So which is it? Now, if they're jamming the satellites, Ukraine's GPS information, they're being able to actually target anything, being able to keep track of their own forces is lost. So this is quite a thing, especially, you know, because it's being spoken about openly now. And, you know, the one thing I'm not really thrilled about is this guy, a general, Chance Saltzman, sounds really whiny about it. If the U.S. is doing this for Ukraine, the U.S. should realize the satellites are up for grabs. They're part of the war, like a tank, like a howitzer, like a missile launcher. They've put American satellites up for grabs. Now, the fact that Russia hasn't, you know, attacked them and demolished them directly is because they're not interested in raising the stakes of the war and spreading it regionally. If the United States was really upset because Russian jets pee jet fuel on a drone, what do you think they'd do if Russia took out its GPS satellite system over Eastern Europe? That would be probably a bridge too far for spunky Biden right now. And it would feed right into the war rhetoric on both sides. And quite frankly, it's horrendous because the amount of work these people, and I'm talking about the Republican side now, the amount of work they have to do to keep their head in the sand and not know what's going on is enormous. I mean, it's just, it must be so exhausting to ignore what the actual facts are. To go out every day and tell the people that you're talking to, oh, Ukraine is winning victory after victory after victory. And when the coffins are lining up and you say that you're supporting these people, I'm in a very odd position on this because the Ukrainian people, this isn't them, it's not their doing. And I'm in that odd position because, you know, quite frankly, I don't want to see them killed either. These soldiers are forced to do this. They're being grabbed off the street. They're not even soldiers. They don't even qualify as militiamen. They're being told, given a week or two training, sent to the front with very, very little. And they're told to their special operations, go get this done. They're not given clear orders. They're not given support. They're not given anything. And they know the war is wrong. And they know they can't, they have to go to those positions because there are nationalist groups behind them that are going to mow them down if they don't. Put yourself in that position. It's incredibly, it's mind-boggling. And it's been going on since 2014. Ukraine has been systematically cleansing areas of men that are military age that they think, well, geez, people in this area have the wrong politic, we'll send them to the front lines. And then they don't need to deal with them anymore. They're not worried about, are they going to vote Republican or Democrat? And it's like sending, you know, finding every male military age in a red state and sending them to war so that the small minority that are, you know, Democratic blue turn the election. That's what's going on in Ukraine. That's what's been going on in Ukraine. Now, in America, we complain about the politics, the how disgusting everything's gotten since 2016. And it started before that. You know, let's be honest. And it's both sides. We have to be real honest about this. If you're going to fix the problem, admit the problem. It can't be our team. And, you know, it can't be our bad guy's a good guy because he's our guy anyway. Bad guy is a bad guy. He isn't your guy. He's not for you. He's just a bad guy. And so the whole political system needs to be cleaned out that way. Do they represent the people in their state? Or do they represent special interests? Now, that's on this, okay? And Didi talked about, you know, these leaks. Yes, some of them are true. Some of them aren't. Pick and choose. Because, you know, other than Ukraine's reactions, which was kind of telling, you know, I really couldn't say. But what I can talk about, and this is the bulk of its horrible story, and it's happening again. Now, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on Wednesday condemned as beasts those who purportedly beheaded Ukrainian soldiers shown in two videos that emerged on social media in the past week. One is actually pretty old. The first video was posted on a pro-Russian social media channel on April 8th. It was reportedly filmed by Russian mercenaries purportedly from the Wagner Group. Okay, and appears to show beheaded corpses of two Ukrainian soldiers lying on the ground next to a destroyed military vehicle. We're going to get into that. Now, Russian social media accounts say the video was shot near Bakhmut in eastern Ukraine, which has been a scene of the war's fiercest fighting for many months. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said Wednesday the video was terrible, but first of all, we need to verify the authenticity of the footage. In his regular call with a journalist, Peskov said, of course, these are terrible shots, videos. And then it may be a reason to check whether it's true or not, whether this took place, and if so, where and from which side. And we're going to get into which side very, very clearly when we come back from this break. We'll see you in a minute.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
It would be nice to think that Bud Light putting Dylan, the great pretender, Mulvaney's face on its cans would be the straw that broke the camel's back, but it's just not so. While the outrage expressed in videos ranging from Kid Rock blasting away at cases of Bud Light with an automatic rifle, to men using cans of Bud Light for trap shooting, to the video of the man who literally put a lifetime's worth of Jack Daniels memorabilia into the dumpster, setting some of it on fire using premium Jack Daniels as an accelerant, is genuine outrage. It just doesn't matter, because that's not the target audience for these advertisements. No, executives at companies like Nike, Anheuser-Busch, and Kate Spade are tossing trans troublemakers lucrative sponsorship deals like they're candy from a parade float because they're being coerced. What they're really concerned about is their Corporate Equality Index, or CEI score, which is overseen by the Human Rights Campaign, the largest LGBTWTF political lobbying group in the world. And of course, HRC is sponsored by who? George Soros's Open Society Foundation. This is all just another form of George Soros and Leftist Incorporated coercing a narrative, shoving it down America's throats by greenmailing corporate America. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Don't be fooled by so-called green steel made by using hydrogen rather than coal. This fraud will force up the price of steel for no environmental gain. Moving to unproven hydrogen technology will require expensive refits or replacement of steel manufacturing infrastructure. Since steel is used widely in construction and manufacturing, the costs will be enormous, just to satisfy nonsense net zero carbon goals, which denies nature-enhanced photosynthesis from the gas of life. The critics are not just conservatives. Jenny George, former Labour MP and president of the Australian Council of Trade Unions, has described the net zero emissions approach as a region's job killer, has scorned the false promises of green tech energy and ridiculed, quote, the mantra of green steel, unquote. The World Economic Forum backs the Net Zero Steel Initiative through its Mission Possible Partnership. This threatens steel producers who don't swallow the net carbon zero swindle.
No propaganda, no lies, and definitely no BS. You're with George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back. Now, you can agree that this is a very, very serious thing. If Russia did this, you know, what kind of soldiers are these? And, you know, I could argue, well, they've seen so much of this, they're fighting back. Well, no, it's not an argument. It can't be an argument. It can never be an argument. What happened is a war crime, and it needs to be treated like that regardless. Now, if we go back all the way to the spring of 2022, what we saw was the emergence of ISIS again on the battle line, very, very visually, putting up videos. They caught a group of Russians that somehow separated from the formation, and they beheaded them. And video they showed, the body was still quivering on the ground. The man was alive. And there was another one. And it's very, very disturbing. At the same time, they're videoing another man getting his throat cut. They cut the video before they cut his head off. And they were bragging about it, how happy they were. And they're with the Ukrainian formation because they've been here since 2014 doing this. They've been doing this. Now, that should be, let it be a marker who's here doing this. Now, the ISW, the Institute for the Study of Warfare, has reported similar incidents in Popsnaya in the Luhansk region, where, and they're saying Wagner troops were also operating there earlier this year. Well, guess, now they're not giving dates on this, but guess who was there? You see, that was when Popsnaya was liberated. And in Popsnaya, Ukrainians' Idar battalion was beheading people. They had a concentration camp there. They took over a sausage factory. They were actually throwing people under the floor, covering them with a grate. And this is over the winter, winter 2021 into February 2022, into actually March. March or April was when Popsnaya was liberated. They kept these people in that without any protection from the elements, without anything. They were throwing water on them. One of the women had a baby with her. The baby survived. The woman did not. She tried to protect the baby. She died doing that. People were being tortured there. And people were being killed there. And there's that a mass graveyard out behind this sausage factory concentration camp. It was a concentration camp. And that is what the Institute for the Study of War is referring to in Popsnaya. Now, we also have the viral video showing a Wagner deserter getting his head hit with a sledgehammer in Kiev. He went to Kiev after he deserted from Wagner, and Ukraine put it up as a video. This is what Wagner does to deserters. And the man's head was taped to a cinder block, and it cut it before the hammer hit him. Now, the hammer did not hit him, okay? He turned up alive and well a few months later. Now, the person that put this video together was actually an American lawyer, and I'm going to be doing his story, a video. He has a private sector tattoo on his right hand, and he's complaining he's the most hated person by the Russians in the Ukrainian war, because he put that video together and convinced the world that this happened. Now, the Russians knew they didn't do it, and the Ukrainians put the video up. And that's pretty much a tell. If Ukraine puts it up, it's generally their people that are doing it. They don't have access to the sites that these things go on otherwise, if that makes sense. You know, unless you're there, I don't understand the whole thing of, you know, filming these crimes anyway, if you're going to try to get away with it, but okay. So this guy shows up a few months later. Okay, haha. And the guy, the American that put it together, that actually swung the hammer and, you know, obviously missed him, lived to complain, and he's in hiding because he's afraid for his life. Now, with the private sector tattoo on his hand, the only thing that I can tell you about private sector is that's what they do, is torture people and kill people. And so this American lawyer was involved in that kind of thing, except that they didn't need to this time because they needed the propaganda. Well, a few weeks after this guy was okay, the story emerged again, another one. Only this time it was kept out of media for the most part. And this person disappeared. So they could get away with one in media, blame it on the Russians, and then they found out that no one actually cared. So they did it for real. That's Ukraine. Now, if we go back to the summertime, Ukraine castrated a Donbass militiaman with bolt cutters, and then they blamed it on the Russian Federation, saying they did this to a Ukrainian soldier. Now, what really made this obvious, once the Ukrainians posted this themselves, the video was never up anywhere else, but the soldier that castrated this poor man was wearing shoes that were made specifically for Ukrainians for the 2012 Olympics. A very specific style. They do not wear that in Russia. It's Ukrainian. No Russian would be caught in it. And, you know, you're looking at the Russian army already being here, they're wearing military boots, not sneakers. Secondly, the medical gloves they had on while they were doing this are light blue, which is from the Ukrainian medical kit, and not dark blue, which is from the Russian. They didn't even get that right. They never bothered to check. But they blamed it on the Russians. If we go back further to the early spring, now the Ukraine staged rape scenes, and they were saying that men, women, and children were being raped in Bucha early in the war, and they blamed Russian soldiers again. And this, again, all these things made major headlines all over the place. Bad Russia, criminal Russia. And then a few months later, Ukraine's ombudsman, who's in charge of protecting the people for, you know, civic rights, social rights, human rights, was fired because the fake was too obvious that she was trying to pull off, and she kept trying to push this back into media again. The whole thing around Bucha was a fake after months of headlines. The real crimes do need investigations. They don't need the SBU version of it, where you make up the evidence as you go, get all the media play as you can, and then go on to the next thing and not let anyone talk about it again. Now, fun fact, most of the crimes that I've listed were against Ukrainian civilians that were on the Ukrainian side, supposedly being protected by Ukrainian soldiers. Now, another video that came out, and I don't want to ignore it, was that Ukrainian soldier lighting a cigarette, looking really puzzled, saying Slava Ukraina, and then being shot. If you look at that video very, very closely, he looks confused. He doesn't look scared. He's wondering what the hell is going on. He's lighting a cigarette. If you look at his body language, it's confusion. What most likely happened is people from his unit or another unit came up to him and said, "Hey, buddy, say Slava Ukraina," as he's lighting a cigarette. And he looked over and said, "Slava Ukraina." And then they shot him. Why? Because that's what Ukraine do. That's the way they roll. You see, the individual doesn't make a difference there. This is nationalism. And this is why nationalism is the most evil of political thought. The state is God. the leader is Christ. And the people are the prayers. The state decides whether or not you're an enemy of the state, whether you're a sacrifice for the state, or whether you're a hero for the state, and they all could be in the same day. Whatever the leader decides. So sacrificing 1,000 people, not a problem. It's for the state. The state is holy. The state is perfect. This is politics. It is the closest that politics and religion intermingle, because the state replaces the religion with political thought. And if you disagree with the political thought, you're a heretic or an apostate. They'll tie you to the stake and burn you. In 2014, they actually nailed people to crosses, stood them up, and burned them. And there were Americans taking part in those Ukrainian nationalist festivities too. It is a disgusting mess. So, should this be investigated? Yes, but a real investigation. I investigate a lot of crime, a lot of wrongdoing, and it galls me to the idea of catching a bad person that didn't do something. It galls me. It runs the wrong way with me, and here's why. They're a bad person, they've done bad things, and they should be responsible for what they've done, right? Right, okay, that's just basic justice. But if you catch the bad person that didn't do something, that means there's another bad person out there that did something and is getting away with it. And you just hid the crime. By nailing someone else that didn't do something, you're letting the real perpetrator go free. And it gives them the courage and the strength, because they got away with it, to do it again, to level up on the crimes. Why not? I can get away with this. And then what? And then what? The victims never get any real closure, even if they think they do, because it wasn't the person or people that actually touched their lives and hurt them. So we have to be really, really careful about things when we talk about, throw words around like justice or prosecutions, about accusations. And there has to be a thing called evidence involved, not just accusations. You can accuse anybody of anything. I can accuse you, the listener, all of you, of transporting back to November 1963 and killing John F. Kennedy. As crazy as it sounds, as ridiculous, I can accuse you of it. I can't prove you did it. But here's the problem. With the American justice system right now, and this is part of the beef I have with it, the way it's turning, if you have to prove your innocence, if I accuse you of killing Kennedy like that, I can't prove you did it. But on the other hand, even if you were born in 1980, you cannot prove you can't. Because I'll just throw up another herring. Oh, you got a time machine. You're part of a global plot, interstellar plot. And it just rolls like that. What's going on with Donald Trump, and this ties into that, is that you're putting, if you can put a former president and maybe a future president in jail for something you can't prove he did and he has to prove he didn't, we're all in trouble. I'm George Eliason. This is TNT Talk Radio, and we'll see you tomorrow.